Now, as anybody knows, there is enormous pressure on the NHS budget, as indeed there are all budgets across all the government areas at the moment, and some people saying that drugs that can prolong life or indeed alleviate suffering are increasingly difficult to get. Now, some health experts, it might sound strange in this context, still believe that you can be cured or receive some form of treatment from being gay. And this has led to one Conservative MP to call for a ban on what's known as gay cure therapies. Here with all the details of this story, LBC's political editor Theo Usherwood. A controversial one, Theo.
Yes, Nick, it is still possible here in the UK to quote-unquote be cured of being gay. Now, in terms of how it works, it used to involve electric shock therapy, and from the anecdotal evidence that I've received, and in a small percentage of cases it still does. But in most cases, one would sit down with a counsellor and talk about your past to try and find a point, an event that may have turned you gay. Now, the Department of Health guidance says that such treatments are harmful, but NHS doctors can still legally refer a patient to a psychotherapist who can supposedly convert you or one into a heterosexual. This, of course, as you say, Nick, is extremely controversial. It has been condemned repeatedly by the gay community. And now the London Tory MP, Mike Freer, wants the government to bring in an outright ban.
My reading around the subject, it can range from routine counselling to aversion therapy, where people are woken up every 2 hours, they're given electric shock treatment or some form of treatment that makes them, you know, if they're watching or seeing same-sex imaging, to try and get them to react badly to the images. And even down to silly things like people checking your music to say that, you know, you can't listen to Adele because it's too gay. And if you only listen to good Christian music, then everything would be all right. It's simple quackery, it's voodoo medicine, and the NHS should have no part of it.
Now, David Cameron pledged before the election that if he felt he needed to bring in much tougher laws, which could include the regulation of psychotherapists, then he would be prepared to act. But there are still no plans as of today. This is despite a recent report finding that 1 in 5 health professionals in London believe that gay cure therapies could actually work. Benjamin Cohen, he's the chief executive of Pink News, and he told me gay conversion therapies were probably much more widespread than the NHS accepted.
Certainly would anticipate that this is more widespread than people would care to admit, and why it's important that, you know, now the government are becoming much more open to banning this sort of therapy. And there certainly should be a means of statutory regulation so that if you were going to see someone to help you come to terms with your sexuality, they're giving you advice and help that's actually genuinely going to benefit you, rather than something that could lead to self-harm or in some cases actually been suicides that, you know, have been directly linked to people, you know, trying to and failing to change their sexual orientation.
Now, the Department for Health has said that to introduce an outright ban would make it difficult for anybody looking for counselling when it comes to coming to terms with their sexuality, and it make it extremely difficult for them to find that counselling. But in a statement, they insisted that public money should never be used for these types of therapies.
LBC's political editor Theo Usherwood reporting. Theo, thank you. Now, in the studio with me, Mike Davidson, who's director of the Core Issue Trust. Mr. Davidson, in a sentence, what is the Core Issue Trust all about? Good morning.
We stand with men and women who voluntarily seek change in their sexual orientation. They are fed up with living a gay life. It hasn't worked for them, and they want to seek other opportunities. And we stand with them to do that.
So you offer them, you don't offer them a cure, you offer them, how would you define it?
Thank you for saying that, Nick, because when we talk about gay cure, we're into a medical model, and then the assumption is we're dealing with a disease. We don't believe that. However things develop in this area, we think people need to have the right to make the decisions they want to in terms of how they will live out their lives. And therefore, we think it's important to stand with them and offer them therapeutic or counselling support that will help them to make the right decisions and get the right outcomes where it's possible for them to do that.
So being gay is a lifestyle choice in a way, is it?
I think we have to admit that at some point it is. I would have to say that in my own life, I didn't choose the feelings. But I realized
you were a homosexual.
I struggled with same-sex attraction. I acted out on it, and in every way I began to go in that direction. And that could have been the habit and a way of doing my life. But there came a point where I realized that actually I did have some choices. And I chose to maximize that part of me that did want actually to be with a woman. I desperately wanted to marry and to have children. And therefore, I sought the help of psychotherapists and counselors over 3 years and saw three different individuals.
What did you learn from those counselors and therapists?
Well, I learned that there were issues that I had experienced in my life. Maybe you could call them small T traumas. So I hadn't.
Can you share any of those with us?
Well, one thing I know for sure is that the particular family dynamic that I grew up in meant that I lost an older brother.
Oh, sorry.
And this was actually before I was born. To put it in a nutshell, I was a replacement child. I didn't realize until much later on in life that the child who had died also was called Michael. I was told all my life his name was John. And it was only in later years that my mother let out the fact that his name was Michael. Now, what this taught me, or what I came to see, was that the tragedy in this family dynamic was that my father was very invested in that son. He was not very invested in me. That's not to say he didn't love me, that he didn't try and you know, give me all that I needed. But I have to say there was a gap, there was a break there. Now, critics will say that I am stereotyping absent father, dominant mother. But all I can say was that that was a fact in my family dynamic and my senses that affected my development.
So that led you to find comfort with men?
Yes, I would say basically there was a deficiency within me, in my own psychological makeup, that made me feel very inferior. I felt I couldn't make it with my peers.
Yeah.
There was a mystery, if you so to speak, that developed between me and them.
Yeah.
A longing that was created. This became sexualized. And when that began to be reversed, when I began to develop healthy relationships that were not sexualized, and as I began to deal with behaviors, the feelings reduced. And that's really all.
See, as you may or may not, you probably don't know, but I'm straight. I've never had a homosexual experience. I've never had any attraction towards men. The way you're portraying it is that it's almost an unhappy existence being homosexual.
It was for me, Nick, and it is for some others. I'm not saying that my values...
Some people can be gay and happy.
Oh, certainly. And they have every right to live the life that they feel is an expression of their identity. But there's no equity here, because people who choose the direction I'm going in appear to be being told that they are in some way inauthentic, that they're frauds, that they're living a lie, that they're not living according to the innate way that they were created or came into the world.
So it is. You're not born gay. One is not born gay.
Absolutely not. And
you're born straight, aren't
well,
you?
Well, even the Royal College of Psychiatrists has said in its most recent statement that people are not born gay, that for some people sexuality is changeable. Now, they wouldn't support my position, but they have moved away, as has the American Psychological Association, they have moved away from this idea that people are born gay. The preeminent gay activists in this country do not support the idea that people are gay. Speak to Julie Bindle, speak to Peter Tatchell. None of them are saying people are born gay. We've moved away from that, all of us. People come in.
So they choose to be gay.
You know, there is a point at which a person says, okay, this is the dominant patterning in my life. That is how I'm going to live out. But not everybody is in the same position. I don't think we are safe if we adopt a one-cap-fits-all.
All right. Now, I know that we've asked you in advance. You're happy to take some calls, so we're going to be doing that. Calls then to a controversial view, perhaps, right after the latest LBC News. 8:45,
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With Hampton by Hilton. From a great night's sleep to the perfect breakfast included.
9 minutes before nine. Right, you've heard Mike Davidson, director of the Core Issue Trust. This as one Conservative MP is questioning the idea of gay aversion therapies on the NHS. The idea we still give these folk electric shocks seems to be going back to the days of Victoria. But let's get your calls. Graham, you're in Sevenoaks and you're through to Mr. Davidson. Go ahead, Graham.
Good morning. I'd like to know whether you believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. You don't speak for me, sir. I'm a gay man, and I'm not ashamed of what I am. I was born this way. At no point in my life did I ever actually say I've decided I want to be gay. I don't understand why it is that you hate homosexuality so much, so vehemently, or is it that you're scared of it? What are you scared of?
I think, Graham, the important thing is that people need choice in life, and some people just get to the point where they want to go in a different direction. So this isn't about criticising people who live in a way different to them, the people I'm dealing with. It's about people's freedom and right to make a decision. People who don't feel as though they were born gay see other opportunities and want to go in that direction. Surely that's something we can all support, the freedom to be able to do that.
The only reason why people feel that way is because of people like you, people who are trying to tell other gay people, other people, that they are inferior. I'm not inferior to you, I'm not inferior to any heterosexual.
You certainly aren't inferior, and certainly I don't...
Why are you trying to make out that we are? Because what you are doing is you're trying to say that you can cure something. You can't cure me, but also, why should I want to be cured?
I'll come back to you in a second, Graham. Let's get Mr. Davidson in. You will have a final comment, Mr. Davidson.
I think it's really important that you recognise that we certainly are not out to cure people. What we are doing is working with them to work out the goals and aspirations that they have. And if they want to move away from homosexual practices and deal with the behaviours that they have found to be hurtful, we think that they should have the right to do that. Now, that shouldn't interfere with your right and freedom to live as you think that you should. But please allow this population group to have a chance as well.
Quick response, Graham, before I move on.
Well, please allow people just to be who and what they are. I'm very sorry, but I think you're talking out of your hat.
Graham, thank you. Ken's in Ayrshire. You're through to Mr. Davidson. Go ahead, Ken.
Good morning, Nick and Mike. This is an important topic, gentlemen. I've got a very good Christian friend who was previously a homosexual, mm-hmm. and he hated it. And now he turned to Jesus. That was his choice. Nobody forced him. Mm-hmm. And he asked God for help in his life. And God wonderfully delivered him from homosexual appetites. This is a miracle. Now, as a Christian, I don't hate
I've got to move you to a question. I appreciate the background, but are you coming to a question of Mr. Davidson, Ken?
No, well, my thought is not really a question. It's a thought. The only real answer to sin, and we have to understand there is a problem of sin in all of our lives, is to allow Jesus to set us free to choose to do right.
Your faith, how has your faith influenced you, Mr. Davidson?
I think what I would say to Ken is surely Muslims and Jews and people who have no faith at all, who are secularists, if they choose to go in the direction that we are offering, they should have the freedom to do that. And I'm not sure that it would be wise to preach to them from a Christian point of view. As much as you and I may believe that that's important, we have to respect difference in other people, and people come from different backgrounds, and I think it's very important to protect that.
Ken, thank you. Ray's in Lewisham. You're through to Mr. Davidson. Go ahead, Ray.
Great. As a gay man that's fought all my life trying to be accepted as a gay man, why, if we are born gay or transgender, why is it so hard and difficult for so many of us struggling to accept our sexuality? Part of the problem is clearly caused by bigotry, ignorance, and misguided thoughts like yourself. Do you think that is the reason why we come to terms with our sexuality? Or do you accept my thoughts that really the issue about sexuality is more about DNA and genetics? We don't have a choice. We become gay for all sorts of reasons, but it's certainly not a lifestyle choice.
Well, I think you're right. We do become homosexual for all sorts of reasons, but I think the Royal College of Psychiatrists itself has said that this is not something that is wrapped up exclusively in the genetics and in genes. I think the other thing we need to really begin to see is that just because we disagree with people doesn't make the opposition bigots. I think we've got to move away from that kind of language. In any tolerant society, we need to be able to have discussion. We need to have a look at neutral science, and we need to come to a point of view that is appropriate based on fact, not on an emotional and ideological position.
Just to touch there, I think Ray mentioned transgender people. You support the idea that people can be born in the wrong body.
I think that we are now seeing the crest of the wave break in terms of the transgender movement. It's really interesting, isn't it, that the NHS will certainly support anybody with gender dysphoria. If you are a man and you need to become a woman, the NHS will be behind you and give you all the hormone therapy and support to make you into the gender of your desire. But a man who comes, who simply wants to reduce homosexual feelings and remain true to the genetic makeup that he has, is denied help. A transgender person is completely different
but
from...
But you make it sound like turning up at the gas, or I think I'll be a little bit more gay this month. No, I think I'll turn it down a little
not,
this month.
I hope not, because that's part of the problem.
Like
that, part of the problem of the gay cure discourse, if I can put it that way, is it sounds like a switch. We flip a switch.
Yes.
We don't flip a switch. People who work with me are in counseling for at least a year, often 2 years. The progress is slow, and it's never the flip of a switch. So I need to ask that we move away from this gay cure terminology.
We're moving to our last couple of minutes here, so final call. Absolutely not a spare line into the building. John in Cheshunt, your question of Mr. Davidson. John, go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, I'm not biased, I'm not gay, but I think that the old discussion of actually saying that someone's not born gay, I think it's very unhealthy. It's taken me a long time to accept gay people, and I do, because all I see is they're very loving people to each other. They don't harm anybody else. They're happy in what they do. And I can understand people that want to change, don't want to be homosexual, because obviously there's something not quite happy in themselves. But don't you think it's unhealthy to actually creating homophobia, because a lot of people, like myself,
I'm going to talk over because we're coming to the final minute. In a way, you're actually harming the advancement of people who are happily gay, Mr. Davidson.
Let me put it this way. A 13-year-old boy who has a one-off homosexual experience and then thinks that this is my destiny, even though the neuroscientists are telling us that your brain is not mature before you're 23 years of age, I think it would be a huge mistake to impose on him an identity that is not necessarily the case. Just because people have gay feelings, homosexual feelings, or homosexual activities does not mean that they were born gay. And if we obscure that, we close the door to progression in all sorts of ways for different people, and I think that that really is a problem.
The debate will run and run, as will the cash implications as well. Mr. Davidson, thank you. Mike Davidson, your director of the Core Issue Trust, thanks for coming in and taking the calls. I'm sorry, everybody wants to ring, but we are moving on.